Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. And we begin reading with verse 23. On that day, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and questioned him, asking, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother, as next of kin, shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So also the second, and the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her." But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. In various ways, through books, through television, through movies, I've heard and seen and listened to various wild stories. But this one has to take the cake out of all of them. It's a twisted tale of a genetically impoverished family. This poor lady, she had worn herself out walking the matrimony aisle, and her wedding dress undoubtedly was more well-worn than any that you have ever seen. Most of them used once, put back in the plastic and back in the closet. Well, this dear lady had probably worn holes in hers, having worn it so often. Well, it's an interesting story that is put, an interesting question that's put before Jesus, and it comes right on the heels of the Pharisees, along with the Herodians, having put the question to him about whether it was lawful and right and appropriate and proper for them to pay that poll tax to Caesar into Caesar's coffers. Well, the Pharisees, they had been bested. They thought that they were able to embarrass Jesus, but they went off, as it were, with their tail between their legs and whimpered away. Well, the Sadducees, they were the next ones to come up to bat and to try and knock Jesus out of the ballpark. But unfortunately, they also went away empty-handed and deeply puzzled that their question would fall on such ground. Sadducees, we hear about them, but what about these people? Go with me to Acts chapter 23. Deep in Acts, we have a bit of explanation which helps us right out of the Scriptures to understand these people. The Sadducees were a part of the temple establishment. And as Paul stands before the council, that is the Sanhedrin, he, having been a Pharisee himself, understood the division that took place in between these two groups. The Pharisees were usually not as tightly connected with the temple and with its ritual. Very often they would be wanderers going about from place to place, pleading with people to abide by the law and to devote themselves more seriously to spiritual matters, often in a legalistic manner. But the Sadducees, they were connected to the temple. And in Acts chapter 23, verse 8, we read, "The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, no angel, no spirit. But the Pharisees acknowledge them all." And here in Acts 23, the Apostle Paul uses this inbred division to his advantage. So the Sadducees, They limited themselves, saying, well, the resurrection, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as an angel, and there's no such thing as a spirit. There is also a defining mark about the Sadducees, is that their Bible was quite small, whereas the Pharisees, they would lay hold of all of the Old Testament books that we also have in our copy of the Scriptures. The Sadducees, on the other hand, held to just the five books of Moses. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, just those five and those only, and all the rest they would set aside of being of a completely different kind. So with this as a bit of background, these Sadducees, as Matthew notes for us, who say there is no resurrection, they come to Jesus with a question about resurrection. And they question him. And so here it goes. Teacher, Moses. Now, interesting that they would go to that portion of Scripture that they laid hold of. They weren't going to Isaiah or to Jeremiah or Ezekiel or into the Psalms, those parts that they dismissed. They were going straight in to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. And let's also consider what is said here. Here we have a number of various laws that Moses gave. And verse 5 of Deuteronomy 25 says, when brothers live together, and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of his dead brother, and here is the key point, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. The Jews were very careful in this point. They did not want to have anyone missing in the roll call, and it was above all a key blot against someone to have them excluded from Israel because of sin and because of deviance, because of wickedness. Here, just because a man might die childless, they wanted to make sure that the name would be carried on. Well, here the Sadducees, they weave this together in their question about a man who takes a wife and they bury him, but there are no children to mourn his passing. Wife 2, 3, or brother 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And just as this woman keeps going to the altar to marry, she goes time and time again in a funeral procession. Well, it's a fantastic story indeed. And last of all, the woman dies after the 7, and they bury her. Well, here, the punchline that the Sadducees were eager to get to and to push in front of Jesus and have him turn red-faced and stammer and stutter, not knowing how to answer. The question comes, Jesus, this resurrection, chuckle, chuckle, that you and others keep talking about, when all of that takes place, by and by in the sky, and all of that other fancy stuff that we've ever heard about, all of those wild-eyed ideas, whose wife will she be of the 7? For they all had union with her. Oh, I love the answer that Jesus gives to these. He says, looking them right in the eye, he says, you are mistaken. Not understanding the Scriptures or the power of God. Now, interesting that Jesus would smack them on these two points. Because here were men who had devoted themselves especially to the Scriptures, and they had devoted themselves especially to those portions of Scripture wherein the power of God is demonstrated so mightily. In creation, there in the opening chapters, in the opening chapter of what these men claimed to love, the creation of this world. Then also to consider the power of God in calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and raising up a family through the remainder of the book of Genesis. Then Exodus, to consider how that God reached into Egypt and drew to himself a people for his name, watching over them through 40 years of wilderness wanderings, and then bringing them to a land which they had not built the houses, not built the walls of the city, not planted the vineyards, but which was to be theirs, the power of God to work all of these things. Jesus says, you are right off the mark. You are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures. Oh, they had spent time in the scrolls of their day. They had gone back and forth to compare and to argue and to discuss and to debate. But Jesus says, you've really, really missed it. And he says in explanation, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, and so we have, until death do us part, as a key part of the marriage ceremony, repeated time and time again. Jesus says that we are to be like angels in heaven in the resurrection. But Jesus, he goes on, and not having just pulled the carpet out from under them in this explanation, he wants to press home one further thing regarding the resurrection of the dead. Have you not read what was spoken to you by God? Very often we pick up this book and we appreciate it for its historical value. We appreciate it for the stories which it tells. We appreciate it for the magnificent poetry which it contains. We appreciate it for the hope of heaven. But we need to consider these five words especially as what Jesus has to say about this very book. He says, have you not considered? Have you not read what was spoken? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Time and time again, all through the Scriptures, we have it, and God said, and the Lord spoke unto his people. So the Bible is God speaking, and God speaking not just to some nebulous crowd, not just some various baggage of people, but to you. He's addressing not the ancient Israelites who predated him, who said, have you not considered, have you not read what was spoken to Moses? But he says, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? We get a very different understanding of Holy Scripture when we lay hold that this indeed is God's book, that he was pleased to communicate with the likes of us, that he addresses not just some saints in stained glass windows, but he speaks to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians and to you and me. God speaks through his word. Have you not read? And Jesus takes them to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Of course, that's where Moses is being called out to be the leader that God wanted to use to bring His chosen people out of that bondage, out of the house of slavery, that He might deliver them and plant them in that land which He had chosen hundreds of years before. Have you not read what was spoken to you by God? And the quote comes, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Jesus didn't put it, "I was the God of Abraham." But now Abraham's bones lie in a tomb, and he's gone, he's dead, you'll never see him again. "I was the God of Isaac, that promised son who was long anticipated, but he lived his life long and full, and now his bones lie there, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. I was the God of Jacob." No, Jesus says, quoting what God the Father Himself had said, "I am Abraham's God, because Abraham still lives. I am the God of Isaac, for Isaac still lives. I am the God of Jacob, for Jacob lives still." You see, God is not the God of the dead, but He is the God of those who are alive unto Him. And when the people heard this, they were astonished. They thought also that Jesus was done for when they heard the question. They thought, "Oh no, here it's over and done with." Two problems especially present themselves here. These Sadducees, oh yes, they had been to the temple, and they knew what it was to hold the scriptures in their hands. But you see, there was a disconnect that had taken place. There was a head knowledge of many things, but there wasn't a heart knowledge. There was a desire to know things academically, but there was not a desire to bow the knee and to serve the God who loved them. And so they come and they seek to trip up Jesus. Perhaps you know the God who was the God of Abraham. You know the God who was the God of Isaac and who was the God of Jacob. You've heard the stories. You've read the accounts. You know what takes place, and you know the chronology, and you know the details. Maybe you even know some of the various opinions of what takes place, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You need to know the God who is the God of the living. He is the God who wants to know you. He is the one who wants to enter into fellowship with you. He is the one who wants to enter into communion with you. He is the one who gave His only Son that you might live. He lives. The question is, have you been called out of darkness and out of death itself that you might live Him in all, that you might worship Him and live for Him in all of the fullness that He desires for you? Oh, I would plead with you that you would consider what the Scriptures have to say. It speaks to you. Not just to the person next to you, it speaks to you. Hear it, attend to it, and hear that He is the God of the living, and that He has come that you might have real, true life today. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Loving Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise that You care for us. Lord, You spoke to the Sadducees, perhaps with a bit of anger, for the hardness of their hearts. But Lord, we learn much. We learn much. Oh God, help us to hear from your word. And may we learn great, rich truths as well. So Lord, may we see you, not as the God of the dead, but as the one who ever lives. Lord Jesus, you are the one who ever lives and intercedes on our behalf, and we rejoice in you. We give you thanks that the resurrection is not just some wild-eyed idea, but that it is Bible truth, and we rejoice in all of your goodness. Lord, as we gather around the communion table today, I pray that there would be wonderful, rich communion with our souls and our Savior today. May we discern in the broken bread and in the cup the body, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, should there be anyone here who does not know you, who does not delight themselves in you, who has not passed from death to life, who still walks around with the heavy load of sin and guilt upon their shoulders, may they know your forgiveness, may they know your cleansing today, and may they know the lightness of the load of walking hand in hand with you. So work among us and be pleased. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.